Welcome to episode 4 of the Nerdcast podcast version 2.0. This week, Matt Toner and I talk about the walkout that some high school students had this week, Kevin Smith, the Avengers, March Madness, and stuff we've watched recently. Before we get into it, though, I just want to throw a quick shout out to our friends at the Three Dads F and Around podcast. They're another St. Louis area podcast that talks about just about everything. Episode 4 for them just came out. And they talk about what happens when you send an email to sexfuck and why does one pee on laundry. Be sure to check them out.
Hi. That was like your I smoked 10 bowls of pot laugh. What's up with that?
No shit.
Why aren't you sharing? So we're gonna start off with what's your go-to beer right now?
You want me to start?
Go for it.
My go-to beer right now?
Yeah.
I don't have a go-to beer. I can't remember the last beer I had. Del Sol was the last beer I had at Mission Taco. That was the last beer I've had. It's not my go-to, but it's the last one I've had.
All
right. But St. Pat's Day, they come for a finish or two.
Yeah. That's kind of required on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's probably my... I was just talking to Jen that someday I'd love to go. So when we go to Ireland, I'd love to go to the Guinness Brewery over there. Just to, you know, say I did it.
Yeah, that's definitely something on my bucket list to see, too.
All right. Yeah, that and the Jameson Distillery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get fucked up in Ireland.
Well, what else are you supposed to do in Ireland?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's all my people do.
I want to go to an Irish pub. I want to hear Irish people singing Irish tunes in their Irish accents, and I will get drunk with Irish people and eat Irish stew. What else? I mean, come on, man. That's good stuff to me. That's what I'm talking about.
Maybe get called a cunt.
Well, if I don't, then I'm not doing my job right.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tossed around like nothing over there. I like it.
I thought this new podcast was the family-friendly version, less cursing and less cunt usage. Yeah. We're not supposed to be using that word.
Oh, he's got editing tools.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, bleep this all out. I want to hear a bleeped version of a podcast that we do, so I can every other second word.
That'd be a lot of work.
We're better than that. We got to be better than that. Well, then you got work to do, son. Get to it.
Yeah. All right, Toner, what's your go-to beer right now?
The Dunkel Down by O'Fallon Brewery.
Dunkel Down?
Dunkel Down. Yeah, don't ask me what it is. It's cool, it's by
O'Fallon. It's O'Fallon Brewery?
Yeah.
It's a Dunkel Lager.
It's a what?
It's a Dunkel Lager.
A Dunkel. I thought you said Dunkel Water. I was like, are you trying to make a joke about leprechaun pee or something like that? Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's good stuff, though.
Yeah.
It's a lager. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a darker lager.
So there you go.
See, I told him I've been going with Mother's Brewing. They just came up to St. Louis a few weeks ago from Springfield, and probably
Springfield,
Yeah, 3 hours away, and it took them like 10 years to get to St. Louis. But I've been drinking their Snapback Pale Ale a lot, and I'm trying to find their New England style IPA. Last place I looked for it, it was out.
Oh,
take note.
So, Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. Leprechaun piss, according to Jay. That's the way you're drinking. And I'm drinking Mexican knockoff Corona as well. I think it is. I don't know what it was.
Mexican lager.
There you go. Yeah, I like it. It's not bad. Yeah. It was good. I was sitting there waiting for Jen's dinner. I was picking up some tacos for her because she had a hankering for some brisket tacos from Mission Taco. Ooh,
nice call.
And so while I waited for my while the food to be done, I said, I'm going to have me a beer. So I did.
Nice.
Oh, weather's getting warmer. It's a good
one
to have.
It is. I can't wait. I'm telling you, man. It needs to happen. Although I did barbecue last night when it was not exactly the warmest. You're out there. At least it's warm by the fire. It's warm by the fire.
Right.
Hey, I was out vacuuming our pool in the snow last week, so.
Oh, God. Oh, because you had to get that thing cleaned up for people to look at?
Yep.
So do you want to share that news with the audience?
The recording studio is moving to a new house about, I don't know, 5-10 miles away.
So I thought you were trying to go a little bit south. Are you not going south any longer?
No, we are. It's south side of the other side. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, congratulations again.
Thank you. Yeah.
That has to be a really stressful thing to do as far as up and moving and all that stuff and getting the house looking nice enough for someone else to want to buy it and all that. How much work did that take?
With 3 kids.
No, I know. So like, was that like what you guys did like every night was just clean up and pack stuff and get things moved, like only keep the essentials in the house?
Yeah, pretty much. And then opening the pool in March, which is
completely unheard
That's
of.
That's super early. That's yeah. super, super early, dude.
Like, if I can't if I can't stick my hand in the pool to get something out of it, it's a bad yeah. sign to be opening it. But
oh, my God.
But I got
well,
it done.
Well, you do realize it snowed last weekend, right?
Yeah. I was out there vacuuming the pool, getting ready for an open house.
Jesus.
Thank God for St. Louis weather. Yeah. Trying to open the pool while it's snowing. Heck yeah.
But you know what? We were told it would probably increase our sales price, and it did, so...
Oh, wow. Cool.
All worth it.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
So how do the kids feel about the move? Because they're going to be going to new schools and whatnot.
Yeah, a new school. I think we're going to wait until next year to enroll them in the new school and just commute them. But I think they're doing all right. Will's been acting up a little bit, and we think that might be because he's all the changes. But I think they're overall pretty happy.
Okay. Yeah, no, we moved my kids' school. The beginning of this year, it wasn't as, I think I was more nervous than the kids were, to be honest with you. I mean, never know how a kid's going to react to it, but, luckily they have all the cousins are in one school. So at least they know they weren't totally by themselves, you know,
right.
They had at least a little bit of a crutch to do it, but no, man, they fit in right away and it's an easy thing for them.
Yeah.
That's the thing I always worried about when I was a kid, my parents would always threaten to be moving somewhere and everyone, like me and my sisters, we always throw a fit about not wanting to move and whatnot.
Yeah, and
because it's go ahead.
One of our children is very social. She makes friends with anybody. Mm-hmm. The other one is the polar opposite. She has a couple really good friends, but mm-hmm. she doesn't socialize much. So that's where we're worried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. They bounce back quick.
Yeah.
Did you like? Hey, Tony, did you go to one school your entire time growing up, or did you go to different schools?
From let's see, was it first grade through fifth grade? I was in private school, Catholic school, and then mm-hmm. Switched to public school from sixth grade on. So,
okay. So how'd you adjust to it? Was it a big deal for you? Not a big deal.
It wasn't that big of a deal. Luckily, my drug dealer serviced both districts. So, I'm
serviced
kidding.
Both districts.
Yeah. What about the hookers, though?
Well, yeah, they got a little more higher price. Well, the higher price ones stay behind. The public school, you know, they got to be a little more cost effective.
God.
The cheaper
off
ones
the rails, you... I say. Off the rails.
Yeah, it's like that escalated quickly. That
escalated really quickly.
yeah, what the hell were we talking about?
We're going to talk a little Kevin Smith.
You sure you want to? Why don't we talk about, let's talk, before we do that, since we're talking about schools.
Okay.
You want to talk about the, what'd they do? The walkout on schools today or something like that?
Yeah.
Today was the big day for that?
Yeah. And I completely forgot about it until I'm sitting at the table working and I look out and mm-hmm. all the kids at the high school right behind our house are just walking down to the football field.
And that's a private school, right?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah, it is.
See, that's odd because... Haven't most of the school shootings been at public schools?
Yeah, I think so.
See, and that's because we had a discussion of that at work today, and they're like, you know, hey, you know, my supervisor asked, are any of your kids participating in this walkout thing today? And a couple said, I think they are. And a couple said, no, not at all. And I was just like, hell no, my kid better get his ass in school. I could pay too much money for those kids to go to that school, damn it. They're not allowed to not go to school.
We're on spring break, so I was about to send my kids out with the St. Dominic kids.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, I forgot. It is spring break for a lot of kids. Maybe that's why I was just kind of hitting best on who was saying, as far as the kids that go to the public schools and whatnot around here, you know, where they were going to go or not. But I just found it, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's great that kids are trying to do something for good, but it's such a complex issue that, I don't, it's such a gray area. I don't know if there's a side that's right and a side that's wrong. I just know that I agree that I just want kids to be safe. I know that, but I know taking away weapons from people is not going to solve the issue because I'm a realist. I know that if you're deranged, there's always ways to find what you want to get.
One thing I noticed was the meme going around saying, well, if all these kids would have spent that time befriending kids that don't have friends, there wouldn't be a need for school shootings.
Yeah, so and that's tough, man. It's part of growing up. It's part of life is learning how to find your way in the world as far as your social circle. And some kids just don't get a social circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just odd. Like, I was never one that was in a circle per se, you know? Like, I was pretty much okay with everybody. I wasn't nerdy enough to get ostracized, but I wasn't, you know, and I guess the most popular group. and I kind of hung out with the jocks. I kind of hung out with the nerds. I had a big mixture of everything, but yeah. I don't know if that was just kind of different from my class kind of thing, or if it was just me. I don't know. I don't think you can force kids to be nice to everybody. You just can't. You can't be friends with everybody. That's what we tell my kids. You don't have to be friends with everybody. Just be, you know, decent to everybody.
Yeah. Treat them with respect. And
I think that's the biggest thing that needs to get across, and it just doesn't. I just think, you know, everyone brings their kids up these days to say that they're their most special thing in the world versus trying to teach them how to be a decent person. Yeah. Instead of saying, you are the best at everything you do. You should get a trophy for everything you do. You get a medal for everything you do. They put it out on Facebook that their kid's the best kid in the world kind of thing. And I'm like, life's not as pretty as it is on social media, people. Yeah. It just really isn't.
Well, and social media makes it worse, too, because you see someone posting about how great their kid is, so people mm-hmm. feel like they have to one-up them.
That existed before social media, you know? And that's just human nature, I think.
Well, yeah, but it's just more prevalent now because it's just you go on Facebook and it's just one big pissing match.
Yeah, no, I agree with you big time. Cause it's like I think about people that do that stuff that post, today I spent time volunteering at this such and such place for this disaster relief or this or that. I'm like, to be honest with you, if you wanted to really do it, if you were all about doing it for the goodness of the act itself, you wouldn't post anything about it. You get the joy out of just doing the act, the good act, versus getting the accolades from people to go, oh, you're such a good person, and I'm so glad the world recognized you for about 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, Toner, I saw something that your brother posted that made me kind of chuckle. It was funny that I guess Bernie Sanders was at a anti-gun rally, and all of his guards were armed. He was being escorted by armed guards at the anti-gun rally. Because I know it seems like your brother's a pretty big, you know, gun guy. All that good stuff. And I'm like, that did make me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. But luckily, I've avoided any debate with, I have no idea how I'm so different from my parents and my brother. Mm-hmm. Like, not that we're enemies, but just the as far, you know, right as they are compared to as far left as I am, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how's that even, you know?
It doesn't matter.
Granted, I have my own, you know, thoughts, feelings, and opinions and stuff. I'm just like, Jesus. We're not even like in the same universe in a lot of this shit.
Well, but you can still respect each other's decisions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where it matters. Like, we could, you and I, or Jay and I, or anybody, as long as you guys can say, at least listen to what you think and respect it, that's all that matters. But I don't know. Yeah, I just like, thought, hey, I thought it was amazing.
I think you're fucking moron, but I appreciate your opinion.
Exactly. Well, you'd think that your brother, even if you did agree on shit.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, could you guys ever imagine it when you guys were kids walking out on school and just saying, I'm not going to go to school today? I'm like, what? My parents would kill me, you know? But then again, I guess I didn't have to deal with the threat of, because I don't know, Jay, or I don't know if you forgot one, but we did get a letter home from school saying that they'd received a threat. It wasn't to our school, but within the Archdiocese here in St. Louis, I guess one of the sister schools basically did receive a threat, and they wanted us to know about it, saying that, you know, a threat against the Archdiocese at all is something that every school is going to take into serious consideration, and that, you know, they were reported to the police immediately and all that good stuff. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, God, it's just, when is this going to stop?
Right.
I mean, it's doing no good. It's not serving a purpose unless the whole point is this, or that the people that are, you know, the mad gunmen, are they trying to get things changed in the world somehow? I don't know. I don't know what their point is.
Well, and that's like the first time we got a note home saying they did an intruder drill at school.
Yeah.
I'm like, just unbelievable to me, because that's not something we ever thought about when we were in school.
No, never crossed something.
Because there's never an issue, not like it is today.
And then here's the other thing. I'll take a swing at this and let you guys talk about it. I love the fact that people, you know, they're posting things about, you know, instead of, you know, walking out, walk up to is the thing, or whatever it is, or stand up to, or say, hey, go talk to that kid that doesn't have any friends. You know, ask them to be your partner and whatnot.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say, how about this? If you see someone being a little crazy or doing some weird shit, how about you all just beat the shit out of the kid? Let's see what that does.
Actually,
that's a little hard to trend on Twitter, but I could try.
Toner, I said that just to see what your reaction would be. Just to see what you would say. I was either waiting for you to go, hell yeah, or like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's think about this, guys.
Well, you mentioned that, but there was a video floating around Facebook for a while about a guy at a park who exposed himself, and this dad saw it and just beat the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, what would you do in that situation? I'm like, I would probably beat the shit out of the guy too.
No, you wouldn't. You would have been the one videotaping that shit.
Aaron, hold my phone.
Jay, videotape this while I go kick the shit out of this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Aaron would be the one going over to kick the shit out of him. You'd be like, cool, I got this.
Yeah.
This is going on Facebook right away.
Yeah. Straight to Facebook Live.
Yeah, right, right. I have no children, but I see a dude expose himself to kids. I'm like, well, I think the appropriate thing to do is to beat the shit out of this guy. That's I think the jury would understand that.
Yeah, like, yeah. Any jury that would convict you for that. Yeah, exactly. Especially if you don't have a record or something like that, and you're not doing it, you know.
Although yeah, I just don't beat the shit out of people for fun.
Although, you know what I could see? That if a Marine or someone in the services would do something like that, they would put him in jail, saying that you were like a trained lethal weapon or something like that. You knew better. Like, whatever.
Con Air style?
Yeah, exactly. Con Air style.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just living in a crazy world at a crazy time right now. Does it feel like you guys? Just shit's getting crazier and crazier all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so pretty weird, man. It's just, no. Just wish life went back to a simpler way where it wasn't so crazy all the time sometimes.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
No, that ain't going to happen. So, there you go. I just want to get your guys' take on that because that was a pretty big deal today, I thought. Because, again, like I said, when we were kids, I don't think I could ever imagine doing something like that. You know? But we never had to. Well,
did they
walk
out for the entire day, did they? Wasn't it just like a, I don't know, like a brief? Did it all resume or did they walk out and stop?
No, they went back.
No idea.
I saw him going back probably 10 minutes after they'd left.
Okay, yeah, I didn't realize it was like I thought it was just like a brief, like, of, you know, support, solidarity, and, you know, in remembrance of those kids that died, and then, like, they went back in. That's what I thought. But
to be honest with you, what would the administration do? What I mean by that is you got a school board, and, okay, if you have a teacher's union, a teacher's union strikes, okay, well, you understand why that's happening. That's all about wages, right? They just want better pay, more vacation, all that shit. But if you have kids striking to go to school, how do you address that? Are you going to threaten to fail every child for the rest of the year, saying you refusing to show up? Do you say, are you going to get the police involved, saying that this? You go to the parents and say, hey, parents, we're going to put you in jail for this because this is child endangerment or child negligence or something like that. But how are they going to do that when the kids are saying, I'm walking out because I don't feel safe in this environment? I mean, how does an administration even deal with this?
It's,
if they were to walk out for entire weeks at a time, because a teacher strike can last weeks to months and kids just aren't going to school because there's no one there to teach. What if the teachers don't have students to teach?
That's a no-win situation for the school, though, because the school looks weak if they can't make the kids come to school. But then at the same time, if they start failing all the kids for not showing up, well, it's a bad school district. They should be doing something different.
Lose their accreditation or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that crazy? Yeah. I don't know how you would even deal with something like that. If the students were real serious about it, because Toner, like you said, is this just a show of solidarity with or a sign of respect or saying, hey, we're there with you, those schools that have suffered. But is that really going to impact change? Walking out of the school for 10 minutes, what's that really going to do? I don't think that if you really want change, their actions are not, I guess, hardcore enough, I guess, if you want to say it like that. I mean, technically, you really, if you're going to walk out, you really need to walk out and just not attend class and do it for a prolonged period of time.
See, I thought today it was more impactful seeing all those empty shoes outside the Capitol building. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was
fucked
up. No,
what was that about? I didn't hear about that.
They put a pair of shoes for every child that's been killed at school since, I don't know if it was Sandy Hook or Columbine, but one of the two, and it was like 1,200 pairs of shoes or something.
Oh, wow.
So
that's crazy.
There's a lot of videos.
I think it was Sandy Hook. Yeah, okay. it was fairly recent one.
Yeah.
And but I'm like, oh my God.
That's a lot of shoes.
That's a lot of shoes. Yeah.
God, that's sad. Yeah, I don't know. I just when it comes to kids, man, it bothers me a lot when it comes to kids because what do they ever do wrong? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy world. Sorry to hijack your Kevin Smith conversation there for a little bit, Jay, but I just thought it was interesting. Just something that we don't see every day.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to talk about. So more lighthearted. Kevin Smith's heart attack. I think we figured it was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, real life heart attack. Let's talk about someone who was dying. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've listened to him talk about it, but I mean, he's
no, I haven't listened to him talk about it yet. Did he post something on his YouTube channel or something like that?
Well, he did Ralph Garman's podcast and talked to him about it and the lifestyle change and how if he were to go, he's fine with it now. He was always scared of death, but this experience has kind of changed him. So, and then he talked about it on Fat Man on Batman. They recorded over the weekend, I think. But through it all, it got me thinking about his movie career and whether to consider him a movie director now or a podcaster. Because his career's kind of gotten kind of weird over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years.
I don't know, Jay, if you want to put a label on it. I mean, if you're going to put a label on it, maybe he's more of an entertainer than anything. Yeah. He's more of a storyteller than anything.
Yeah.
He tells great stories. He's just got the gift of gab, you know. He can go into a room for 4 hours and just, you guys, I mean, we could just sit there and just stare at him the whole time. He could carry the conversation by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And entertain the hell out of you, you know. I don't know if I would say that he's a podcaster. I mean, that's how he gets his voice heard. But, I mean, he would do just as well if he were to do it in a written style or get his voice heard through his movies. I mean, yeah, his movies are really not movies anymore. They're just experimental. He smoked a lot of weed and decided to say, I'm going to put this on a film. You know, that's really what it was.
Well, yeah, did you see Tusk?
Yeah, I watched Tusk, yeah. And actually, the podcast of how Tusk came about is one of the most entertaining podcasts I've ever listened to.
Yeah.
And it's out there, definitely out there. Not as out there as, out there, but I don't, what was the one after that with his daughter in there, with the two girls at the gas station? What was it called again?
Yoga Hosers.
Is that Yoga Hosers?
Yoga Hosers. Did you guys watch Yoga Hosers?
I did.
Not having it.
It's just not good. I'm not saying it's the worst movie I've ever seen, because I've seen way worse movies, but I can understand why he did it. He just did it so he could do something with his kid. And who wouldn't? I mean, what, in mid-40s and got a kid that he just wants to hang out with and do something fun with because he has the ability to do it? I get that. I totally get it. I don't know. Jay, are you asking, like, where does he go down in the history of movie directors? Or
well, I just think it's interesting looking how his career's gone, where he did all the New Jersey movies, and like it looked like he could do anything character-driven. And then he did Cop Out, which he didn't write, had a bad experience with Bruce Willis, and then it's just kind of gone off the rails since then. And I think it's a lot more social commentary and just seeing what he can do. But I don't know. If he got back to doing, like he's talking about the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, if he got back to more of those type of movies, do you think people would think differently about where his career's gone?
Possibly. I could say what I think about Kevin Smith is that he's a guy that has gotten the most out of what his ability is. And I also think that he, say what you will about him, he's an incredibly smart business person, except for the fact that he turned down being the head of DC movies at one point, which would have made him a lot more money at, you know, but that he was just ahead of his time at that point. Superhero movies at the time that he was offered to run, you know, the DC division at Warner Brothers was, he just wasn't ready for it. He knew that wasn't his strength in regards to, you know, being a big time producer.
Yeah.
But I mean the fact that he's a smart business person, I mean that by the fact that he knew what he was good at. He was good at telling stories, and he was good at captivating an audience that was right in front of him. And he was ahead of the curve in regards to knowing that, okay, the internet was his place. He was one of the first Hollywood people to get a website out there and have a following on a message board through the website. And then being ahead of the curve on that, and then also going, because if you notice what he did with his podcast, it's hard to make money off of doing podcasts. We all know that.
Yeah.
He was one of the first people to monetize it. And I don't mean charge people to just get access to the content, because that just wasn't going to happen, because there's so much free content out there. A lot of people are going to go, why am I going to pay for it? I'll just wait for it to get it for free somehow, or I'll torrent it or something like that.
Yeah.
His bread and butter has been, since stepping away from the movies, is just to sell his podcast. What I mean by that is see him live, do it in front of a live audience, and have people come pay to see him do it. Because think about it, he does a podcast, he was going to do that anyway, and now he's getting people to pay a premium price just to come watch him talk.
Oh yeah, I paid.
I think that's phenomenal. I think that's a genius thing to do.
I think I paid $45 to see Jay and Silent Bob Get Old a few years ago.
And well, worth it, I bet.
Oh yeah, it definitely was.
See, I had tickets to see him when he was at the Helium Club, because that's what he's, because I guess some people are saying he's a stand-up comic, but I don't see him, he doesn't have a routine in my opinion. He just kind of just talks about what he's into that at that point in time.
Right, yeah, talk about what's going on, because, I mean, he can make anything interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I just think he was ahead of the curve at that, where you see a lot of people took his business model and have tried to replicate it since. And he was just ahead of the curve, and that's what he's always talked about is, you know, your commodity is your voice and your talent is just, you are who you are. And if people like what you have to say, they'll pay to see it. And I was just like, you know, I think him getting online as early as he did in the '90s and then getting away from the movies, and cause his whole thing was doing things on the cheap, but making big bucks on it. That's why his movies were okay, because producers would be like, okay, it costs you, you know, no money to make these movies. It costs them maybe a couple mil. But you've established a following, and as soon as you have a following, if the movie only makes $30 million, some people think that's a bust. But hey, $30 million on a, you know, $2 million budget, hell yeah, who wouldn't take that bet? Who wouldn't make that investment?
And then it's with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, because he's friends with them. Oh, yeah. You can get them to do the movies cheap.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, but that's because he got to Affleck when he was young and before he was a movie star.
Yeah,
and gave him his big break, and so. You get someone their break, they're gonna do you a favor for the rest of your life.
Until they don't talk to you anymore, which apparently that's how it is.
Yeah, I think Affleck's just a little too famous to be hanging out with Kevin Smith anymore. Yeah. Or what's up?
Yeah, he's pretty much said that he hasn't heard from him in quite a while.
So, I mean, if you were to say, you know, hey, what's your favorite thing that Smith has ever done, or why do we all like, or, you know, me personally, I'm a huge fan. Jay, I know you're a huge fan, and Tony, I know you enjoy him. But I mean, if you'd ask me some of his most defining things he's done, as far as from a career perspective, possibly my favorite thing he's ever done wasn't even a movie. It was an article he wrote. I'm not sure where it was published, but he put it in his, I think it was his book called Silent Bob Speaks or something like that, Jay. Is that the right title of the book?
I don't know if that was the one. He's done a few different books. I know I have Shooting the Shit.
No, it was one before that. Okay. It's basically a collection of articles he'd written for different magazines and whatnot. Almost like a blog, but in a book form. And it was called Me and My Shadow. Have ever you guys read his work, Me and My Shadow?
No, I haven't.
Because it was about Jason Mewes, his heroin addiction.
Yeah.
And how Kevin dealt with having a best friend that was basically killing himself and needing to get his friend help. And these are the things that separate, like, for, you know, the dick and fart jokes that he makes in his movies and everything. Then you read that and you see why he is as talented as he is, because he can take a life experience and put words to it that most of us would struggle to find the right way to even share that experience with the world, so that you can see what he's dealt with and what his beliefs are and what the things you would do for a friend. And it was very, very moving, very captivating as hell. Quick read, because not short by any means, but just one of those things that you don't put down because you want to hear every last detail he has to say about it. So if you haven't read it, highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'll have to track that down.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Jay, I'm surprised you haven't run across that. It was in one of his books. And it's one of those things that wasn't comedic at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But just something so captivating, I could not put it down.
Well, and that's kind of the same thing with his podcast. Like, if he's talking about an actor he knew that passed away, like when Alan Rickman passed away, I mean, he was in tears on every show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you heard the same stories over and over, but every time it just impacted him so greatly. I mean, all this stuff comes through pretty easily with him.
Yeah, and that's how you can tell a person's a great storyteller, is when they tell them over and over, but you're still captivated every time you hear it. Because it doesn't matter, because it's just comforting to hear the story because of how good he tells it.
It helps, too, when he's just a big fanboy like the rest of us, too. It makes it seem like anything he does that almost anybody else could do, too. Just not as well.
Yeah. Yep. And to be honest with you, after that article, as far as some of my favorite work, I mean, to be honest with you, as an interviewer, he's an incredible interviewer, because he gets a lot out of people that they normally wouldn't, because they feel comfortable with him, I guess. Yeah. That's one of the great traits of a good interviewer, is being comfortable with the person you're talking to. And the Fat Man on Batman podcast, I'm okay with the way it changed into, and it had to evolve into what it originally started out as. But the podcast, when it first started, that was everything I've ever wanted out of a podcast. It was about a topic that I'm truly enthralled with, and it was with people you wouldn't really expect, and focused on the actual Batman character. I mean, his podcast with Mark Hamill about Batman, oh my God.
Yeah,
I could listen to that thing over and over, and it's just...
That was the first two episodes, and it was like 3 hours long between the two of them.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just amazing. Yeah.
And I loved his interview format. I love the interview format of the podcast, and I wish every now and then he would go back to that, because I mean, when he would interview Bernardin about Batman, those are some of my favorite episodes because they would just talk about it.
Yeah.
But since they moved away from that, I still enjoy it, and I know it had to evolve because, you know, look what he did. He turned into a business opportunity where they do that podcast live in front of an audience and charge people to come see him. But he did that by establishing an audience with the podcast. So I get it. I just wish it would go back to that, though.
Yeah. The other thing about him, too, is he's accessible. Like, he does those podcasts outside of Hollywood Babylon. I mean, he sits there and takes questions from the audience and gets audience participation.
Mm-hmm. And then the only thing I would say that he kind of hurt himself with was, I know you always have to be generating content in order to, you know, maintain and keep an audience, and even, you know, gain an audience. But he went so far where he has too much out there almost.
Yeah.
It's impossible to keep up with all of it, because otherwise you'd just be, you know, listening to him talk every day, all day long, because there's that much to listen to.
Yeah, I listen to Babylon every week, and I listen to every episode of Fat Man on Batman, but everything else I just kind of hit or miss, depending on how much other stuff I wanted to listen to at the time.
Mm-hmm. So, Turner, what's your favorite Kevin Smith thing?
Well, as far as movies go, I mean, we still quote Clerks and Mallrats to this day. Mm-hmm. I think his just the way he writes, his sense of humor and everything. His movies are unique, like, you know, like Wes Anderson unique, you know. Like, when you watch a movie, like, even if I don't know what's really going on, I can be like, oh, the way these people are talking, feel the movie. I'm like, look, I bet that's a Kevin Smith film. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, you know, Wes Anderson. And I like, seriously, almost every character that he writes, you can tell it's got aspects of Kevin Smith. It's like, that's how you hear somebody talk, a character talk, like, shit, Brody, T.S., whomever, you're like, yeah, that's Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jay was asking, do you consider him a podcast? I mean, he can have many different hats. Obviously, he's a director, writer, a producer, podcaster. But I'm saying at this point in his career, I think he's, you know, probably more known for, you know, his podcasting and these live shows he does as a podcast. I do like his directing that he's done for the Supergirl and Flash shows. And I hope he eventually branches off to, he can, I don't know if you want to put all that entire workload on him, but there's no reason why he can't be a producer, co-producer, writer, or whatever for a big, like, blockbuster superhero franchise. Just he's just talented enough that he should at least be, I think, somewhat of a, you know, creative consultant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I hope he does that, you know, at some point in his career.
He knows all those characters well enough that he could do it. I think it's just his choice. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want the pressure put on him. He knows the expectations of, hey, Kevin Smith is doing Flash. I wonder what he's going to do.
Right. Like, yeah.
And the flip side of that too is, then people hear he's doing Flash, so they're like, well, are there going to be dick and fart jokes in it now?
Yeah.
It's like, it's.
Well, he's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because he could never live up to the expectations people would have of him when it comes to that stuff. Because when you get someone that actually knows the material as well as he does and knows the characters as well as he does, you know, they just will never live up to the hype. It just won't.
Right. I mean, if he can be involved in a project where you don't have the studio execs who, you know, their main job function is just, you know, write the checks, you know, trying to put in some creative input. I think if you let the people who know what the hell they're doing, you know, let them run with it, you have better results. But I think,
yeah.
I don't know. I just, yeah, like, he doesn't have to be the director of it or the sole writer. I don't see even like maybe a Geoff Johns type where, well, shit, I don't know how much Geoff Johns has been involved with some of the DC cinematic universe movies, but
I think he's been booted out of them now.
Okay.
I don't know. The shame of it all in regards to him having his heart attack, the thing that I wish he would do before he passes would be do stuff for the fans that they're clamoring for. Because I know he's always saying how lazy he is. And I'm like, you can't be as successful as he is and make as much money as he had in his life by being lazy. But, Jay, I'm still waiting for Daredevil Bullseye to be done. I'm still waiting for his Spider-Man Black Cat to be done.
See, I think he did finish that one. But he was also supposed to have another Batman comic coming out with Walt Flanagan.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sequel, though, Whitening Gyre.
To Kakamfi or whatever it was. Yeah.
Whitening Gyre.
Yeah, the follow-up to that one.
Yeah.
And I just wish he would do those things. I wish he would just take a break from producing content like that and really sit down and focus and write. Because I'd love to see him write a few more things just to say, you know, it's what it was his bread and butter, and people love when he writes. And he's such a talented writer. He always considers himself a writer, but I want to ask him, unless he's considering material that he's written for his comedy shows, which they're not stand-up comedy by any means, but I'm wondering if he takes time to write out outlines and things like that to cover certain issues. But to sit back and really write something before he passes, because I'm sure this would be a big lifestyle change for him, trying to, you know, get a healthier heart and whatnot, but maybe not travel as much and go on the road and maybe stay around and maybe just take a break from podcasting as much and get back to something that he's really talented at.
Well, if you think about it, Daredevil and Green Arrow wouldn't be the characters they are today without him.
No, he
relaunched both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So what, he still has follow-ups to certain books that he hasn't, finished yet? Or
Yeah. I mean, he made a good thing out of, he would take movie scripts that didn't get made into movies and they'd make his book, his scripts into comics. But he also has his original material that, you know, basically if Marvel or DC, he goes to them, they know that book's going to sell. I mean, he just has to go, I'm going to write a book, and they'll just say, they'll get out of his way. He's one of the few creators out there that has the freedom to not, like in the Marvel world, he doesn't have to follow whatever's going on. He could just make an Elseworld tale or, you know, something that doesn't fit into the timeline. And they'll allow him to do it because that book will have a following and it will sell like crazy.
He made Batman piss himself.
No. Wait, what? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said he made Batman piss himself.
Yeah, he's made really? Batman. Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
His books are great, though. His books are great. I just wish he'd get back to them, that's all.
Well, I was actually shocked to hear about his heart attack, just because I know he's lost a ton of weight. I know he's changed his diet somewhat, so I just thought, I mean, not that means you're never going to have one. I was just kind of surprised that he had a major one. Yeah. I guess, you know, the damn near the Widowmaker, he said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, okay, shit. So.
Well, part of it's hereditary for him, too, because his dad passed away from a heart attack.
Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah.
Well, love the guy. Love his material. Love everything he's produced. Just hoping that before he passes, he gets back to writing some stuff. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, and I still want to see Moose Jaws, too. I'm one of the few people that want to see Moose Jaws.
Yeah, I think it sounds interesting. And then he had the hockey TV show that he was writing.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's ever going to
come. No, probably not.
To be honest with you.
But
I would love... Hey, if there's a script and he's written the entire script, put it out in a book format or put it in a comic format or put it out there so the world can see it.
Well, he read I think it was a TV format, and I think he read the first episode of it on Smodcast in the last
couple months. Oh, he did. Oh, wow. I should go back and try to find that one. I didn't know that. Did not know that.
Yeah. Moving on to the Avenger movie. Did you see it got pushed up a week?
Yeah. It's like April 27th now.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, last weekend of April.
I guess, are they doing that because of the Han Solo movie and Disney doesn't want to have movies competing against each other?
I think that's part of it.
Okay.
I had read somewhere that they were kind of hoping for the Black Panther kind of box office, and they wanted to maximize it as much as possible. So if they push it up a week, there's less competition then.
They
can get they can get three big weekends before Solo comes out then.
This movie's going to make so much money, it didn't need to do anything. It could have come out and... It could come out in January and still make a ton of money. It'll probably make $1 billion easily just by coming out. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, and I agree with that, but I think with Solo coming out, it's either going to completely crush Solo or it's going to push down the revenue quicker. So I think they're just trying to maximize what they can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, plus Disney owns both of them. They're trying to cannibalize their own profits and shit. So.
But yeah, I'm not surprised by it. And I don't know if that's really huge news, to be honest with you, Jay. It's Avenger movie, a Marvel property is just going to make really good money right now. And with as popular as Black Panther is, trying to put him in the limelight. What's funny is I heard someone say that with as successful as Black Panther is and is still doing so well, that might still be out in theaters long enough to basically you could do a 2-in-1 day where you see Black Panther and Avenger same day. I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't think you could do that marathon thing. Remember when they when Avengers first came out, like you could go to the theater and see like Iron Man 1 and 2 and
AMC's Hulk doing or something. AMC's going to do it. Yeah, 31 hours.
Oh my God. You can't sit through all that. You can't.
Oh no.
You can't sit through all that. At least you shouldn't. How about that? I'll change it. You shouldn't.
No.
Right. Yeah.
You just shouldn't do that.
That's weeks of movie watching.
That's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand wanting to be a hardcore nerd and being all for your Marvel stuff, but that's just too much.
It was hard enough.
I don't need to sit through Iron Man 2. I'm sorry. I just don't need to.
It's not yeah, no shit.
It was hard enough to do it for Lord of the Rings. We watched the two extended editions before going to the theater to see the third one. That's like a 12-hour day right there just for those three movies.
God. No thanks. Not for me. Couldn't do it.
But the sad thing is people are going to go on and do it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they're people with families.
I'm like, I've seen all the movies, and I'm obviously a fan, but I don't care what the hell it is. 30-something hours, like, obviously, it's, I guess, what they're breaking it up. Well, it has to be over 2 days, but, or is it just seriously, like, we're going to play this movie, like, 31 hours straight with breaks and shit? I mean, how the hell are they going
to
do that?
I have no clue. I just heard it's 31 hours of movies that you'd have to watch.
Jesus, that's a lot.
Yeah. I guess they would have to put a half an hour break in between each one of them, too, so people could go to the bathroom. They could hit them for concessions. Is it really worth justifying doing it with what you're going to pay employees overnight if it is 31 consecutive hours for a handful of people that'll come and watch it?
I don't think there'd be that many people there that need that many people at the theater. You could probably have two people at the entire theater, and they'd have enough, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not that hardcore of a fan, man, but I will say, they started this shit back in 08, and here we got the big bad of the, you know, Marvel Universe coming in 10 years later. So I think the anticipation is gonna pay off in the form of a shit ton of money.
All right, so March Madness games are starting. Have you guys been following college basketball at all? I mean, it seems like a few years ago it was a bigger thing than it is now.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Last time I was super, super into it, I guess, was back when Tim Duncan was playing for Wake Forest. I used to love watching it then.
Yeah,
I was really into it with the Duke teams in the 90s, the Running Rebels in the late 80s. I liked watching them play, but I just don't anymore. I mean, I'll watch Mizzou, you know that. Yeah. I'll watch every Mizzou game, and it's fun to watch them again now that they're relevant again. But this year is a little bit different because of how many superstars there are in this one class. Where we have, I don't think we've seen that. Like, this upcoming draft class for the NBA is going to be stocked. One picks, like, you could have five people in the, you know, the five top picks could all have gone number one overall. And you could argue that there's a reason why they should have picked that person number one overall.
Yeah, I don't follow it like I used to at all. Some guys in my row at work, I guess they printed off brackets. So everybody's just filling one out. It's just like a bragging rights thing for the road to see who's got the, you know, wins the most games or whatnot. But when I was filling it out, I mean, I was just like, you can't go by this. I mean, obviously, when I said the seeding, obviously, yeah, number one and number 16. Well, yeah, you need to pick the number one. That's just a given. But there's upsets every year. And so seriously, there's just no real science to it. I mean, just shit happens. We've seen 15 seeds knock out 2 seeds and shit. Mm-hmm. So it's just the science of the upset, if there, you know, is such a thing.
I think if you don't follow it, it's a little bit easier to pick them because you don't have that tied perception to each team. Like, I was looking at the bracket and I didn't realize Kentucky was a number 5 seed. I thought they would have been higher just based off their reputation.
Right.
They haven't been that good this year.
Yeah, I know they have the same conference record as Mizzou after looking into it a little bit. But, I mean, people see Kentucky and Kansas and the big-name teams and just instantly will put them down.
Yeah, I have Duke. I think Duke's like a 2 seed in the tournament this year.
Yeah.
I think I got them going, I don't know, choking in the Elite Eight or something like that. I mean, Duke's always fucked me over every year I've ever filled out a bracket, and they were always, you know, like the number 1, 2, 3 seed.
Yeah,
I
have but
them Duke, going real deep in the tournament, and they always.
Yeah, so but Duke, like, they didn't have Marvin Bagley, dude. this kid is unreal. This kid, he could probably win that tournament by himself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but yeah, there's always...
I got them going to Sweet 16 at least, I think. But
yeah. There's always one team, though, that just comes out of nowhere. Like, it was Butler 1 year. Or early on before, like, Gonzaga and Villanova were mainstays in the tournament. They always shock people.
So. Yeah, every year there's always a 12 seed that knocks out a 5 seed. It's like science. There's always going to be one. It's like, okay, which one's going to... I think I picked Murray State this year to beat whoever the hell number 5 was.
Nice.
So I'm like... Yeah. I'm like, Murray State, they're always usually pretty good. And I'm like, oh, you're 12 seed? You'll probably beat the number 5 then.
Yeah. So I think I put Purdue winning it all.
Yeah, I had Purdue actually, and I think I got them in the final game. Yeah, I think I had them going in the final. I think I had Xavier winning it all. But then again, I know next to nothing. So just on my bracket, you know, the finished product look.
Yeah, and like you said, you can never tell what's going to happen because there's always those big upsets, and like Purdue probably get knocked down in the second round since I have them in the winning it all.
Right. That's how it usually goes. But yeah, I mean, I have, no matter who you are, like the, you know, pros on ESPN or sports or whatever, that's
Dick Vitale.
Yeah. You got to use some, common sense, but all at the same time though, nothing's guaranteed.
Yes.
Yeah. It's how the tournament works. It's the fun of it all.
Yeah.
Cinderella stories left and right every year.
All right, last thing. You guys watch anything, movie, TV shows recently? Anything good worth noting?
Hell yeah, dude. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Me and Jen have been binging Black Mirror on Netflix.
I saw the first few episodes of that, and that is a messed up show.
Jay, this show is so good. It's ridiculous how good this show is, because it's basically Twilight Zone, but for our generation, and because of how messed up it is. Because, yeah, I'm sorry, if you watch the very first episode of the very first season, and that's your only exposure to the show, I can understand why people would maybe just walk away from that show because of how messed up of a premise it was.
Yeah.
But the more you get into that show, and the thing I love about it is, if you don't like a certain episode, Jay, just stop watching it and go to the next one.
Yeah,
because none of them are interconnected whatsoever.
Yeah, it's an anthology series, so it's a different writer and director for every episode.
Yep, and it's phenomenal. I enjoy it so much, man. It's so good.
I need to sit down and finish it.
Yeah, like, we're not even done with the entire series yet. Like, we're done with season 3.
Okay.
And there's like 4 to 6 episodes per season. So yeah, you can get through small. Them. But some episodes are an hour. Some are even longer than that. But usually around an hour is what they run at. And they just feel like movies. They're just that good.
Toner, have you seen it?
I have not. No, I remember did like a new season debut a couple of months ago or something like that.
Yeah.
I remember it was like all the rage on Twitter. People are like, everybody that I follow was talking about Black Mirror this, Black Mirror that.
Yeah, man. It's really, really good. Really good stuff.
I have no idea what the hell it is.
Give them a quick synopsis of the first episode.
No. And the reason why, Jay, it's not that I don't remember. I'd rather Tony just go, what in the world did these guys just tell me to watch? Because that's all I want. I want you, and Toner, if you do, I don't want you to even read the synopsis of what's going on with it.
Oh,
I don't want you to go online and pre-read anything. Okay. I don't even want you looking at a picture of what's about to happen. I want you to. What I want you to do is have a friend come just start the show for you, and you just walk in and sit down. That's what I want you to do.
I'll bring my mixer over, and we'll just record it.
I will be sure to check it out, though.
I think, Toner, it'd be for entertainment purposes. Like, to be honest, you shouldn't have any inebriation of any kind, no drug usage, no alcohol usage, and just watch it sober. But for our entertainment, for Jay and I's entertainment, maybe the world's entertainment, you being slightly tipsy a little bit might help a little bit.
Okay. If you're not while you watch it, you probably will be afterwards.
Right. Well, I was going
to
say.
But I promise if you can get through the first episode in regards to saying, okay, this is interesting and I want to see more of what these people have to offer, then all right, go down the rabbit hole. But if you're really, really, really weirded out by it, I understand that too. I get it.
Let's see.
I started. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, heard about Kevin Smith talking about the first episode, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch this, but I kind of have to.
Oh, yeah. It's so good, man. Yeah. So good.
Well, I'll make that a homework assignment. I'll get that,
because then I think I'm trying to think of what we were watching before that, because I think we just done a completion on something. I think, Jay, we talked about Handmaid's Tale, right?
Yeah, you told me you're watching it.
Yeah, that we finished that. That was phenomenal. Really, really good television there. We finished, what did we finish? We finished Runaways, and I told you to watch Runaways.
Yeah.
I like that. A lot of changes I didn't like about it. I thought I'd talk to you about that, why I didn't like some of the changes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else we kind of killed off. Oh, movie. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, with The Rock in it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Highly recommend it. Couldn't recommend it enough, to be honest with you, because the entire family had fun watching it. Kevin Hart's hilarious in it. The Rock's entertaining. There's some there's plenty of laugh out loud moments, and Jack Black almost steals the movie at some point, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I understand. Like, people are like, how did Jumanji make as much money as it did? Guys, I'm telling you, it's great. You'll enjoy it. Jay, if you haven't watched it with your family, there's some things in there that you're like, oh boy, I wish they wouldn't have put that in there, but then I think it is PG-13.
Yeah.
Positive about that, but then you're like, okay, it's PG-13. That now I get it, you know, because I think the original was PG, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was. It's
some... there was a few things. Yeah, there's some language in there. A few situations where you're like, hopefully the kids just kind of zoned out on that part.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I was probably going to wait for disc just because it's hard to make it to the theater so often. But I was shocked because it's still in the top 10 of the box office.
Yeah, I think near at 400 million in here domestically. I'm like, holy shit. I had no idea it was making that much bank.
I'm telling you guys, you're going to like it. You're going to like it a lot. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Oh, but did we talk about that we were supposed to do our homework and watch Thor Ragnarok and get back to each other on that, Jay?
Yeah, I still haven't seen it yet.
Oh, come on, man. What are you doing?
I've seen it, yes.
Tony, right? Recommend? I highly recommend Thor. I love Thor Ragnarok. It was a fun ride, man.
It was fun. And
it was like an 80s acid trip, man.
I know. I think it's available to own digitally. I don't think it can be rented yet. I mean, I liked it a lot, but I want to rent it, obviously.
We bought it just because I just took a gamble on it because I didn't want to wait for it. I knew I wanted to just. I was disappointed I didn't get to see it in the theater, and I'm glad. It's one I'll rewatch plenty of times.
See,
That's not money. That was not money spent badly. It was worth it. If you're going to take a gamble on it, it's worth 15, 20 bucks. Yeah, it's a safe bet. It was a good movie.
Yep.
I've got the Blu-ray of every other Marvel movie, so as soon as it's out on disc, I'll end up buying it.
Yeah, man. And I highly recommend you get that one.
That way I get the digital code, too, and I'll throw it on Google and can watch it anywhere.
Yeah, there you go.
I need to write my stuff down. I can't remember if we've checked out anything else that's worth mentioning, to be honest with you.
So I watched The House, that Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler movie.
Oh, yeah. How was that one?
It was okay. It had some funny moments. Jason Mantzoukas was hilarious in it.
Of course, because he should be. He is hilarious.
It was his Raffy character for the most part, but I mean, I think that's just how he is in general.
Because on his podcast that he does with Paul Scheer, what's it called, Jay? How did this get made or whatever.
Yeah.
He's the funniest part of that podcast. I can listen. I wish he would be more on that. Like, sometimes he gets silent on that podcast, but when he's on fire, like in front of a live audience, it's money. It's hilarious.
Did you know he's a theology major in college?
No way.
Yeah. And
that guy?
Yeah, he traveled around. He had a grant to travel around the world, and he studied different religious music.
Wow. That guy is an interesting guy.
Yeah, a very interesting guy.
Interesting indeed. All right, that's cool, though.
The movie was worth checking out. It had some funny moments, but, I mean, it's not like a comedy that you could sit and watch over and over again, like Kevin Smith stuff or, God, I don't even know what else anymore, like Super Troopers, something like that you could watch over and over.
Yeah. Here, I'm gonna name two comedies real quick. You guys tell me whether you like them or not. I think they're rewatchable over and over. I love them, even though some people might say I'm stupid for saying it. 21 Jump Street, the remake with Tatum and Jonah Hill.
That was a lot better than I thought it was going
to
be.
I love that movie. That movie is just hilarious to me. And then
I saw 22 Jump Street. I didn't even.
Oh, see 21 Jump Street. You guys seen the first one? First one's superior to the second one. I'll tell you that. But I like the second one too, though. Second one's good too, Tony. You'd be good with that one. But then here's my other one, Neighbors with Seth Rogen.
I thought that was funny.
That movie's funny as hell, right? Yeah. Am I wrong in saying that movie's funny as hell? That movie's. I love that movie. That makes me laugh so much.
Did you see the sequel?
The sequel. I didn't like the sequel as much as I liked the first one, though.
Yeah, I never saw it.
But I thought it was funny, though. I did think it was funny, but yeah.
So is it up there with like Old School?
That was like one of those.
No, I don't think it's up there with those. But you were just talking about rewatchable comedies, and you were naming some pretty old shit. And I was like, well, I'll give you some stuff that's a little more recent. Yeah. I mean, it's not by any means within the past year or two, but you know. Not Old School, because Old School is like, what, 2003 now? That movie's, 15 years old?
Yeah.
So.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
It came out in 2003?
I think it did, didn't it, Jay? Am I getting my years messed up?
I think so. I'm pulling up IMDb right now.
Damn.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think it was 15 years old, but damn, time's flying.
I guess I'll tell you about a movie. I watched... Did I talk about Fences? The movie Fences with Denzel Washington?
No.
It's based on a play, and actually, James Earl Jones...
Old School 2003.
2000. Look at me, movie date trivia. What?
Yeah.
But James Earl Jones. He did the original play, I think. Because I remember seeing a clip of him online doing one of the most famous speeches in the play, and then Denzel directed it and did the movie on it. Guys, it's Oscar bait movie in my opinion, but I loved it. I loved Denzel's performance in it. The story's kind of messed up, but the acting. Who is it? Viola Davis was his wife in the movie, and she was what's her name? She was Waller in Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Guys, she won the Oscar that year for her portrayal in that movie, and I can understand why. She was amazing in that movie. Really, really good. Not too long. It took me 2 sittings to get through it, maybe 3. Not because I didn't like it, but just because of time constraints and whatnot. Definitely one that if you want to see Denzel in a really good movie and not being in his Training Day mode. And it's a period piece. I think it's like the 40s or 50s. It's really good, though. Really recommend it.
Huh, okay.
Yep.
Making note of that.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out.
And then I'm trying to think of something else I watched. No, I think that's it, man, to be honest with you. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of much else I've seen.
Let's see, I started Westworld. One episode in. It's pretty out there.
That's Jay. You're just starting Westworld?
Yeah.
Oh man, dude. Yeah, that's like Jennifer. That's her show, man. That Game of Thrones and Westworld. That's the reason why we keep HBO. we have to have it for just that stuff.
Once Game of Thrones ended, I just kind of stopped watching everything. I didn't watch any of the DC shows the second half of last year. I'm about probably 2 years behind on Walking Dead now.
Well, hey, I just now finished watching the Invasion crossover for the CW shows from, was that last year, Tony? Yeah. For Invasion.
Oh, with the Dominators, the alien. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, dude, they had another crossover this year, the one across the four shows, and it's legit.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, but that's not on Netflix yet, right?
No.
They're still in the middle of that season. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Okay.
Well, and I think they've staggered their seasons this year between the shows because they've got Black Lightning that started.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out yet. I don't know if that's even worth it or not.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about it.
Oh, and I started the first 5 minutes of the King Arthur movie that has Jax from it, from Anarchy. What was it? Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, I started. It wasn't that I didn't like it. I just never went back to it. But I'll try to get back to that one, to be honest with you. For as bad as people said it was or something like that, the first couple of minutes I saw of it, I'm like, this isn't horrible. You know, I don't know what everyone's saying about it. So I'll try to get back to that. Yeah. And I pulled up Amazon to see what I watched by Amazon because I didn't want to log into Netflix or anything like that. But Manchester by the Sea, saw that. Don't know if you guys watched that.
No.
I understand why Affleck won the Oscar for that. It makes sense to me. I get it. What else is on here? Big Sick. I didn't get to finish that yet, but I liked what I've seen of it so far. That's with the guy from Silicon Valley.
The Indian
Kumail
guy.
Or whatever. Is his name Kumail or something like that?
Oh, that's the one based off Kumail, him and his wife.
But what's the, yeah, man. So far, it's fun. The parts I've seen, they're really funny. I like it. What else did I get into here? I'm just looking here. Hold on. Oh, here's, I'm just looking. I haven't watched it in a long time, but you want a throwback movie you haven't seen that I could rewatch over and over? There's a movie called 50-50. With Rogan and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Highly recommend that one.
Oh, yeah.
Love that
I haven't
movie.
Seen it. I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm drawing a blank on that
I love
one.
That movie. Let's see. There's a movie out here I want to see. It Comes at Night. Still want to get around to watching that. That's one that's got big-time mixed reviews. I'm thinking, Toner, that might be... you know how there was The Witch that one year that we made fun of a whole bunch?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get around to watch... You watched it, right?
Oh yeah, The Witch sucked, dude.
And I gotta watch it because of how much you said it sucked. I was like, I gotta see this thing.
Literally, dude, it's 90 minutes where you're like, okay. I mean, there's cameras, there's actors and actresses, they're acting.
But I don't know what the hell's going on.
But I'm like, there's no fucking story. Nothing happens.
No, there's not. You're right.
It was 90 minutes of filming, and you're like, okay, and then it just stopped. You're like,
oh god.
Okay, so what happened in this 90 minutes? Like, I don't fucking know. Nothing.
I just know that I just love getting you started up on The Witch because I love hearing your reaction to it. It cracks up every time because I'm like, I just don't get it.
I don't understand.
It sounds like a David Lynch horror movie.
Basically, just, yeah.
And like when Matt says Oscar bait and things like that, where you understand why it's like hyped up and whatnot, but overall, like, sucks, you know? Like, this movie's got... It was, like, a 90-something percent of Rotten Tomatoes. Critics loved it. And so I'm sitting there... I'm like, I have no idea why.
I just don't get it. Yeah.
So hyped up. No, literally, I sat there, thought about it, analyzed it. Like, am I just stupid? Am I a dumb person? I'm like, nope, this movie just sucks. There's nothing else to it.
Yeah, man. Here's a movie I want to recommend you guys. It's called The Kings of Summer. Did you guys ever watch that one?
It has
the guy that played Ron Swanson on Community. Is Community, right? I think. No, not Community.
Parks and Rec.
Has him as the dad in it. And three unknown guys for the most part. Except you'll notice the main lead kid in it. He was in Jurassic World. He's one of the he's the bigger brother in Jurassic World. This movie, guys, this movie, it's just... I don't even want to say much about it. I just... Just one of those things that it's not a superhero movie. It's not an action movie. It's not, a melodrama or, Oscar bait movie like you were just saying. It's just a good movie, just one of those movies you're like, this was just good. So I recommend that one. It's on Prime. I'm just looking at Amazon Prime right now, see what's out there. Oh, go ahead.
Have you watched Jean-Claude Van Johnson yet on
No,
Amazon?
I haven't watched that, no. But he's making fun of himself in that, right?
It's only like six episodes, man. Yeah. I kid you not. Everyone, I'm like, how am I enjoying this show this much?
But you are.
I'm like, I'll be, I mean, that show has like, even Marcus, I got him, I guess he watched it based on my review not long after it came out. And he mentioned like on one of his Facebook Live videos, he goes, he's like, that show has no business being as good as it is. He's like, I don't know. It's the same thing. He's like, yeah, it's Jean-Claude making fun of himself, but it's, but it's fun. That's the thing. It doesn't take itself seriously. It's funny. And you know, like it's only a 6-episode investment there, but it was actually pretty good.
See, I think that's the same way that Cobra Kai show is going to be.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a TV show.
It's gonna be on YouTube Red or whatever their streaming is.
Their pay service. Yeah. So is Daniel or not Ralph Macchio? He's gonna be in it.
Oh yeah, him and Danny Zuka.
They're gonna get so many subscribers to that just to see that thing. Who are we gonna find that has a? We need someone. We need to find someone that's gonna have that for that login because I'm not paying for it.
If anyone out there has it, email us.
Please do, yeah, so we can watch that. We'll review it. There's three movies here that I haven't seen yet, but I want to see if you guys have. Logan Lucky, and you guys see that one?
No, not yet. I do want to see it, though.
Yeah, that was one I wanted to see, too.
Arrival, which I heard that one's supposed to be pretty good.
That was really good.
It's really Arrival? Good,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're
Arrival,
talking the guy.
Yeah, Arrival was good. Yeah, I like
it. I still haven't seen, what was Nolan's space movie? What was it called?
Interstellar.
Oh,
I still haven't seen that. And I refuse to watch Arrival until I watch Interstellar. And I just never get around to it.
They're both worth watching.
Sit down.
They're both slow.
Yeah. Well, then I got my last. And this is my... Jay needs to watch this movie before I do because this sounds like it's right up his alley. Is that Valerian movie? Valerian in the City or Planet of a Thousand, whatever?
I've seen it twice.
You've seen it twice already?
I took my daughter to see it in the theater and then we rented it when it came out. She loved
you
it.
You like it?
Is it good?
You like it, though.
I enjoyed it.
Really? I heard that movie was absolute garbage.
The acting is horrible. The story's got a lot of holes in it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a fun movie the same way. Not quite to the level of Fifth Element. That's a really good movie.
I knew you were going to go Fifth Element because that's what it looks like.
Well, yeah. It's visually stunning. Like, everything is either like super bright and amazing looking or it's real dreary. So it...
Yeah,
for the effects they put into it, it's worth seeing.
Because the main character, his name is like Dane DeHaan, I think is his name. I like that kid, everything he does. I think he's an amazing actor. But the girl that's in there, I don't know her name.
Kara.
She's awful. She's the witch.
Yes,
the enchantress. I said the witch. She's the enchantress from... She's awful. Can't stand her. She should not be in movies in anything. Horrible actress.
That's absolute right. You should only model naked. I don't know what.
Toner has said his piece about that.
Oh, damn it.
I think she's in there for Tourette's. The eye candy.
She's awful. That's all I'm going to say about it. No good. But there you go. That's my roundup on what I have seen and what I want to see. How about that?
I mentioned this to you in email a few weeks ago, but the Joel McHale show.
Oh, yeah. No, I doubt I'll get around to that. If I were to run across it and have time to look at it, I probably would. Because his stuff's always been funny. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically The Soup on Netflix, and they're doing it weekly. And it's just dumb humor, you know, making fun of reality TV. So that's always entertaining. Mm-hmm. But every time he says Netflix on there, it does the doo-doo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then hold on. This one's Toner. You have homework. I'm going to make Toner do homework for our next podcast. Tony's going to have to watch Power Rangers, the one that came out in the theater like over the summer, this past summer.
That's on Prime now, I think. So
that's why I'm looking at it. I was like, oh, look, there's Power Rangers. That's Tony's homework.
Have you seen it yet?
I'm not watching that.
I've seen it.
I haven't seen it. No, I wouldn't watch it. I have no desire to see it, to be honest with you.
Really? It's kind of the same way of Valerian. It was bad story, bad acting, but it just... A dumb, mindless movie.
Okay.
My kids loved it, and they like watching the crappy TV show. So it's just
what's sad though is I'm seeing Power Rangers. I'm seeing Power Rangers on here. Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. That's an awful name for a kids movie, by the way. And then you go scroll that, and then down here is We Need to Talk About Kevin, the most depressing movie that was ever created. I'm like, no.
Oh,
once was more than enough. I would never rewatch that movie for any reason at all. Oh, that movie just...
If you like the Nut Job 2.
You guys have all seen it, right?
No, I haven't.
You've heard me talk about it enough, right?
Well, after hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to watch that movie. Jesus.
Hell yeah. No, that's one of those things where if I got to see it, you guys got to see it. I can't unsee that shit. You guys have to suffer with me.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't like feeling like I want to, you know, jump off a bridge after watching the movie. Being old.
It just makes you feel like, you just feel like you're going to be the worst parent in the world or you're just a piece of shit human. That's all that movie makes you feel like after you're done watching it. I'm like, why did you do this to us?
Yeah, I need help film like that, so maybe I'll watch it.
Jesus.
Oh, jeez. So there you go, Jay. That's all right. What I got for you.
Tony, you got any other movies, shows?
I've just seen the last movie I saw was Black Panther, which I know you're going to go see tomorrow. Sweet movie, obviously. No spoilers, just the hype is real. It's legit. I started last night. I think I got through 3 episodes of Jessica Jones. I may or may not have been high while watching them, so I'm going to have to rewatch the first 3 because I really don't know what the fuck's going on.
Nice.
But from what I remember, the bits and pieces, I'm like, oh, okay, it's legit. But yeah, I need to rewatch it because I'm not sure what's happening.
I must be slipping in my old age, but I forgot that came out.
Okay. Well, it was like March 8th. It was a weird day. It came out like on a Thursday. I'm like, huh, okay, that's weird. Usually they announce it. It's like a Friday that these things come out.
Well, my TV watching has been thrown off too because the kids are on spring break.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I want to read to you guys the trending movies here real quick so we can end it like this. I'm going to read you the 3 that stand out the most to me as far as trending movies on Amazon Prime. You ready for this? Hawking, because okay. Stephen Hawking passed away.
Yeah.
Power Rangers. And then the 3rd one that kind of caught my glance was Space Boobs in Space.
Space Dudes or Space Noobs?
No, boobs. B-O-O-B-S. Boobs. Oh. Space, boobs, and space. It's trending on Prime.
I've heard another podcast talking about it, and it's supposed to be like this horribly cheesy movie, but it's supposed to be just incredible. I think maybe in the vein of Kung Fury.
Yeah, oh, really? Okay, well, I get that. Okay. But I saw that. I was like, how is this trending? It looks like a bad either B space movie or... Something that should be on Cinemax, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe that should be homework for next week.
Nope. Yeah, nope. Not me.
Oh, man. Power Rangers and space boobs.
All that right. Reminds me. I need to X out of this before my kid comes down here and tries to watch movies.
Clear the browser history.
I'll leave you with that, gentlemen. I'll leave you with that. There you go. Tony's got homework. He's got to watch.
Yeah, I do.
We need to talk about Kevin and Power Rangers and Space Boobs in Space.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Fuck it. Why not?
Write it down, Toner. You got homework.
I got Amazon. They're all trending. I'm sure I'll just watch them immediately.
That's it for this week. Be sure to check out nerdcast.com, nyrdcast.com, for articles, reviews, all kinds of random things I throw up there. I'm about to do my projection series for the St. Louis Cardinals for this upcoming season. You can find us on social media at Nerdcast on all the major platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. We are part of the IJOV Network. It's Inside Joke, Outside Voice Podcast Network. Go to ijov.net for more great podcasts.
The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids.
This week's featured song is Take 2 White Pills by The Odd Robots.
Can I rewrite this story? With 1 minute, it's fucking boring. I put the pen down on the paper. Then I'd redraw these pictures. Said I really fucking miss her. If I could start it all again, I'd work some miracles and never let you down. But something tells me even if I walked on water, it still wouldn't please you. So I'll take this bottle with 2 white pills. Let it drench my heart until I wash away the memories of you. Sweet panic attacks. The day I get you off my back, I'm dying inside this room without a view. So let me rewind it further then, to when I never even met you. Oh, I could take a different road and drive this wreck wherever I wanted to. Would I crash it into a ditch, break down the middle of nowhere? Tired of starting all again and working miracles to never let you down. If something tells me even if I walked on water, it still So take this bottle with two white pills. Let it drench my heart until I wash away the memories of you.